Good day and welcome to Activist Agenda. I'm Russ Belville. For Activist Agenda today, we take you back to the Portland Hemp Fest Expo to listen to some highlights of a presentation delivered by Nishan Karasik, the Chief Strategy Officer of Phylos Bioscience, based in Portland, Oregon. Nishan delivered a presentation on cannabis science and naming. We take you to that presentation now.
My name is Nishan Karasik. I'm a co-founder of Phylos Bioscience, and we're a genomic sequencing company. We specialize on cannabis. And so we started the company realizing that we needed to bring science to the industry. It seemed to be lacking. So we realized that this is what the industry looked like at that point. This is about 2014. You know, there's general labels and cannabis in it. Maybe it makes sense that it really is that. Maybe it doesn't. We were inspired by this article in the New York Times. The guy in it went to a dispensary, bought something he really liked, and then he went back. I think he first went to another dispensary and tried to buy that same variety and didn't find the same thing that he bought before. So he goes back to the original dispensary trying to buy the same thing, and again doesn't buy that variety because all that people are really selling is a name. So the co-founder of mine is Mowgli Holmes, who is a geneticist. And one of his professors, Rob DeSalle, he called up, who is really a cool guy. And he figured that maybe he might be interested in a project like this. He called him up, and Rob DeSalle from the American Museum of Natural History gave us a little bit of money to do our first sequencing. And so we collected a bunch of samples. In that initial phase of collection, we collected samples from all over the world, from many different collectors. A couple of months ago, we had samples from 80 different countries. By now, it's more than that. The idea was to look at, as you look at sequencing projects, you want to try to find out a couple of different things. And there's some very cool questions that can be asked. But, you know, what is the origin? How did it travel? We've been carrying this plant around with us for 10,000 years, and there's been many, many trading routes, many, you know, ship and land and whatnot. So can we see some of that population changing over time, you know, as it goes through Africa, through South America and up? Or, you know, what is cannabis Americana? You know, some of these questions we're really looking to ask. And those questions are possible to be answered, but they're a little harder to answer because some of these things are not, they don't have very good records. So Herborea do have good records where they've locked in a date, and we're now just collecting some of those samples. We're right now negotiating with China for a sample that's 2500 BC. This is on the bottom right there. There's about a 2-pound basket full of cannabis. And based on the chemical testing in that right now, it looks like that's a breakdown of actually pretty decent THC. And this is a grave from a shaman in China. And some of the other samples we have are from the 1930s. There's a collection that went out during Prohibition. So someone went out and shut all those shops down. And a lot of these samples show similar outcome data that we are expecting from today. You know, PTSD, pain, sleep, aphrodisia, you know. So our lab right now is, our actual laboratory is probably twice this size. We just had to hire a bunch more people and buy more equipment and whatnot. So a little bit about DNA. I'm sure you guys all know about DNA. It's in every cell. It's in a chromosome. And those sequences are instructions for the plant to do specific tasks. So it's in every organism, and it's a source code. But it can tell us a couple of different kinds of pieces of information. The traits, you know, how much CBD, how internodal length, the yield sizes, all of those kinds of things. It can tell us about the ancestry, so your heritage, Where did you come from? And it also talks about us as individuals and can identify us as individuals. So we decided to come up with a bunch of different products for the company. And one of them is Tools for Breeders, which in fact actually takes the longest to develop because you need to do a lot of plant sequencing. But the first one we focused on was a plant sex test, and that basically just tells the sex of a plant within 7 days, and you don't even have to move it out of the prop trays. You can basically take it from the cotyledon leaf. It's the only legal sex test right now because the cotyledon leaf has no trichome production. So trichomes, any amount of THC is illegal to cross state lines. We also have a genotype test, which is an identity test. Sorry about that. So we have a...
So I'm terribly sorry to interrupt your flow because this is an awesome presentation. I just need to give everybody a little bit of update. If they're looking at the schedule today as being extremely strict, it may not have been quite as strict as I intended. Ed will be starting here in a little while after Nishan's presentation for Phylos is done. And for people that were interested in the other scheduled presentation at 2 o'clock, we're going to be starting that up in the AV room, which is out front and immediately to the left. It's room 101, and that'll be with Megan Schwarting and Trista Okel. And now I return you to your regularly scheduled content.
So this is the plant sex test. I'm going to go through this really quickly. They're a kit, and you buy it, you smash a cotyledon leaf on a piece of paper, you send it in, and 48 hours after we receive it, you get your results back that says it's a male and a female. A lot of times people ask us, they don't believe that we can do that. What we look for is a Y chromosome and a reference cannabis sequence. And so we just measure, as you can see, maybe not so well, but on this little amplification plot, we look for the Y chromosome and we look for the cannabis reference. If it has the Y chromosome and the cannabis reference, we can call it a male. If it just has the cannabis reference, it's a female. We do not call hermaphrodites because they're oftentimes environmentally determined. At this point, we don't know what the actual marker is. It's a variable that is grower, oftentimes grower or environment induced. Our largest set of we've done up to 18,000 sex tests at one time, all the way down to four. Four is on one card. Our identity test is. We looked at it, and our actual name is Phylos, which is based on a phylogenetic tree. And we sequenced our first run and our first collection, and we did it as a phylogenetic tree, thinking that was Rob DeSalle's expertise is in phylogenetic trees, and we went that route. And this is what an evolutionary tree looks like, you know, mom, dad, children, crossing, you know, all of that. And we think of it in the way that we think about humans, our mom and our dad, our children, those children have, you know, wives, husbands, then have children from that. But in cannabis and plants, it gets a lot more complicated because we do inbreeding and we do back crossing and up crossing. And so when you look at this, it gets really ugly really, really quick. And so pretty quickly we realized that evolutionary tree wouldn't work for looking at, you know, how things are related in cannabis. So then we looked at network relationships. And this is from wine and sort of how these plants are crossed and related. But again, there's no spatial information here. And there's these nice lines that say this came from this, that came from that. And so we looked at that. We also looked at some of these relationship networks to see how, you know, and this is a stated one from SeedFinder, I think, but this is all this information is just stated information. So I took a X plant and crossed with a Y plant, and I got a Z plant. And the only thing that I really know is Z plant because I named it. Most of the time, we don't know what we actually have. In fact, when we've sequenced varieties of whole farms, we find a significant amount of replications. People have the same plant named different things, or they just don't have what they think they have. So we also then looked at relationship clustering to see if that would work, you know, and this sort of puts them in a scatter plot. And that looks pretty interesting in terms of genetic information. We also then looked at like a 23andMe to look at heritage and see how much of your heritage is made up from different clusters of known sequences. And what we came up with, and if you're not familiar with it, we have a three-dimensional relationship map that has sequenced, and it's available to everybody to go on the web and look at this. It's galaxy.phylosbioscience.com, or you can just search Phylos Galaxy. And basically, we put samples that are similar or the same thing really close together, and those that are less similar, more further apart. And the lines indicate a primary relationship, so a sibling or a parent-child relationship. And that sample that just went across was called GAL, you know, whatever, 305 or something. And that really says that we have multiple samples as one plant, and they're all different names. So we can't be the experts to know what name it actually is. It's all up to you guys. This is an open source project, and that we want everybody to participate. And so if you look in, you know, AC/DC cluster, that's pretty well known. There's a few people that call it Sour Tsunami or something else, but most people really think that that's AC/DC and Harlequin. And OG Kush is a different example where there's Larry's OG, OG Kush, XXX, Miyagi, all kinds of names from the same cut and the same plant. And I think that that's because it's underground and people are trying to brand that phenotype, their way of growing. So a phenotype is an effect of the environment on a genotype, and a genotype is a plant. And so, you know, the naming problem is a bit of a challenge.